Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up? Welcome to the Bubba Show. Everybody have a great weekend, I hope. And here we go again. We've got the Fed meeting on Wednesday, and of course, there is no news conference this particular Fed meeting. So, what are they gonna? What don't they want to tell us? This is always the interesting thing, and of course, the markets have priced in nothing. They're pricing in a no change, status quo. And is it possible that they've reached over? Is it possible that they've priced in too good of a report? You know, we'll see on Wednesday, but my guess is they have. I would think that, you know, now with the markets performing better, we've had now almost a 20% move from the bottom in February. You supposedly have everybody on board as they scavenge and take your cash away and reduce the value of your net money. We could probably see some sort of surprise. It would not be unlike the Fed to do something stupid, which they do consistently. They're very good at it. So we'll see what they come up with this time. But the markets are pretty priced in that nothing's going to happen. The interesting things to watch, though, has been the dollar, the bonds, and gold, because they've been going in a way suggesting that the Fed could potentially increase here. But again, it would be hard to believe, but of course it was hard to believe they could do it in December as well. But you're going to see how the market really reacts here. And I think the markets are starting to get a little bit sloppy. I think that you're starting to see it being a real effort to get these markets to push much higher. Now, I mean, again, granted, after a 20% increase in 6 or 7 weeks, you would think they would slow down for a little bit. Now, the real key is, will they go into a consolidation phase here and then again try to push higher? Or is this the run that we've been looking for and the potential new high, which we didn't quite get? So I think the new high is still potentially in play. I think if I could script it out, you would script it out to see the Fed being their usual dovish self. And then you can get a big rally on Wednesday, punching out the new highs, because we're less than 2% away, so it's not like it would be a real stretch to get there. And then you could see the sell-off, or we could just see the sell-off. I mean, I would say that probability-wise, in looking at the tape action, that the markets have put in their top for now. Now, whether or not this will be the correction that everybody's looking for, that remains to be seen. But I would expect to see some selling. I would expect to see the market start to break down a little bit. But again, I don't know if this will be the final story, or is this just another little roadblock before we actually do go in and punch out new highs. What you have to look at here is, as long as the sentiment and everybody's calling for these ridiculous numbers, you know, Harry Dent, the Elliott Wave Theory, all the geniuses out there that are never right, that are continue to call for these moves that are 1,000,000,000% away, are not going to, they're not going to be right. That's the end of the day. When everybody is leaning on one side and all these experts continue to call for it, the markets will continue to fight. Okay. Now, we do have a lack of volume. We have no volatility. We have no price action, which is typically a sign of overall too much complacency, which would mean that, you know, again, we should see some selling. But again, these ridiculous macro calls being made by the jokers out there will not be right. Now, you know, they've been calling for this. This is now going on 6 years that they've been calling for these types of moves. So again, eventually they'll be right. You know, if you keep calling heads, eventually it'll come up heads. But excuse me. In the meantime, it's hard to say that this is the time. I don't think you can actually predict the actual top or the bottom of any market. I think you have signs saying that, you know, a temporary top is in. But I don't think that you could go out, you'd want to go out on a limb here and lay everything on the line. But there are so many indicators. Forget the economic data because nobody cares. Forget that we are rewarding mediocrity every day by pushing up these companies that have crappy earnings. But because they were able to step over a one-inch bar instead of the six-inch bar they're supposed to, we're rewarding them. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But overall, you know, if you take away all the fundamental data, I mean, mathematically, probability-wise, and the overall market action is saying that it's pretty pricey here. Tie that in with the average investor's greed, and, you know, you're seeing, like a lot of people, I've said this almost every day now, borrowing money that they don't have to buy a stock they can't afford to try to participate in a rally that they've missed. Now, you miss, but you're going to see that these people are going to be forced out if the markets start to sell off and you are over leveraged. You are going to get forced out. There's going to be a margin call. You're going to have to sell if you don't have the money. And I think that a big percentage of this last rally, and I'm not talking about from the February 11th, I'm talking about the last end of it here, when people finally said, okay, we're never going down, and now I didn't participate for the last 7 years, so now it's time for me to get in. I think that's going to create the selling, because one day, as we know, markets don't announce themselves, but ever so slightly, you're going to start to see some pressure. And one of these times, it's not going to bounce all the way back. It'll bounce partially back, and then the sellers are coming again. And I think that is really what we've been waiting for here now, based on the action that you see in the overall market. So I wouldn't get overly excited here. Again, when you have a lack of volatility and you have no price movement and you have complacency and everybody knows that we aren't going down, that is typically just the time when you start to see markets start to change direction. Now, again, I don't predict overall, but I would go out on a limb and say that if we can get some action that shows that there's going to be some volatility, I would say that if you're going to trade, you want to try to get to the short side of this market, because I believe that once it starts, you'll have a great opportunity. Now, if you miss the first leg down, if I'm right, don't chase it down, because you will have monster rallies, as we saw before the markets really hit bottom on the 11th. We saw some monster rallies while the markets are selling off, and you will have better opportunities. One of the biggest things is never to think that you missed a spot and wait. And you know what? If you miss one, you'll wait for the next one. If you try to force the market, if you try to create more action than is there, you will end up losing money. And that's what we're trying to avoid, is to try to find a good spot. And that's where you really need to wait for the market footprint to appear, because the footprint will come and it will give you a better idea. And you don't have to be first. You don't have to chase. Your objective is to sit back and either hedge your portfolio that you have currently, which I think you should be doing, and you should be checking out BubbaTrading.com for that, or you'll catch it on the rebound rally. Again, markets don't go in one direction straight. They always have churn around. And the higher the volatility, the bigger the swings in the market, gives you more opportunity. If we're going to stay in this low volatile environment, they're not going down. That's the end of the day. If we do not get some volatility, the markets will not go down from here. That is going to be the key to watch going into the Fed meeting and after, is does volatility pick up, does price action pick up, or do we continue with the same crap and we get nothing? If we continue the same way, then the markets will either stay sideways or they will continue to try to rally. So that is really what we're looking for going into this week, and we'll kind of see how it plays out tomorrow and then into Wednesday. But I think, I believe that this is probably a great opportunity should we get the proper action, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow because I want to see how it's looking into the Fed. But overall, I think you'll see some action. If we get what I think you're going to get, then we'll have a great opportunity. In the meantime, if you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, we are now, as I said, getting over 200,000 downloads a month. I want you to be part of it, so make sure you check it out, libertytalk.f, to download The Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I'll be back with Jane King right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Stay with me, man. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. What's up, Jane?
Well, just hanging out in New York, spent some time in Vegas, and for the National Association of Broadcasters this week, and it's very interesting to see how the TV business is changing, and kind of hung out in Vegas a little bit. My kids got to see casinos for the first time.
I got to see them in their canoes as well, or their gondolas.
Yes, we got off the plane and they saw the slot machines and they wanted to play this video game. So I had to explain what a slot machine was.
So it was pretty cool, and I followed your trip, and of course we had to. A little sadness. Prince died, but he was one of the smartest guys in the entire business. You know, he was a hell of a business guy.
He really was. I mean, he really protected licensed his music and kept a tight rein on that. So that was very smart. And you know, it's funny. Like I kind of came of age with Prince. I remember driving around Purdue in college, listening to 1999 and When Doves Fly, and a writer. I mean, he was an amazing writer. Just really, really prolific. And certainly sad, and you don't realize how many hits that he had until you kind of go back and think about it, and you're like, oh my gosh, he had so much good music, and really, you know, was part of the generation of the Generation Xers.
So Jane, you know, I don't know about you, but I am like so political out. I'm so tired of hearing this crap every single day in every major network. That's all they cover is the political scene. Are you as sick of it as I am, or are you still into it?
Well, of course, I live in New York, so Tuesday was primary day here, and it was all nonstop leading up to it and the day of the primary. I guess I haven't been paying quite as much attention over the past week, maybe because I've been traveling, but I still find it very interesting that this is probably the most interesting election that I've ever observed, and I still don't know how it's going to happen. We've got one candidate who is, you know, completely unpredictable, and another one who is very predictable, but may be indicted. And I imagine people overseas are watching this with great interest as well.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm predicting the first 4-person race in history. So I think there's going to be 2 independents, which will be Trump and Sanders. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, I just think that they're doing everything they can to get Trump out. And, you know, he might have agreed originally not to run on his own. But if they continue with this stupid pace and these stupid Republicans continue to butcher their own party, I think that'll end up happening. And so we've got a market that's like up near all-time highs. Mm-hmm. Yet we continue to have bad earnings, and of course on Friday you had GE troubles, and you had Caterpillar once again, which you can relate to Caterpillar from your background. But why do we continue to see a market rally? Why do we keep rewarding mediocrity?
Well, I guess it's all Fed driven. I mean, I wish I could say there's some new and enlightening insight that I have on this, but I think everything that comes out, economic reports, earnings, what happens with the ECB, what happens with China, all comes down to one thing: does this mean the Fed will raise interest rates or not? And when the chances are taken away that we will not see an interest rate hike, then we start to see the market rally a little bit. I mean, it's not just these earnings have been kind of I mean, Starbucks, their sales were okay, but not as good as expected. Microsoft had some issues, kind of outside of their control, taxes and so forth. And, Alphabet, Google, they had some issues as well. Their moonshot, so they spent about $1 billion on things like self-driving cars and Nest and life sciences and really innovative things, which I do kind of admire that they're doing. But it is proving to be very costly and not a lot of payback for that so far. So it's tech, it's industrial. It's healthcare, a lot of different industries, kind of turning in mediocre reports, but here we are, highs of since last July.
It's amazing that we just push higher, but that, you know, I just look at it like it's more greed than anything else, and of course, we know who gets greedy is the little guy, and the little guy is stepping up here, and I think that eventually will cause a problem, but again, we're not going to fight what's going on, but the overall picture looks pretty ugly, and you know, just from an economy standpoint, not from the stock market. I mean, the stock market keeps going up, so you can't say anything about that. Now, all of a sudden, we've seen, you know, I don't know how much you follow the grains anymore, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, which I've been actually calling for every week on every TV show I'm on, and everybody, I say, look, you got to buy commodities. And all of a sudden, we get a major move across the board in wheat, corn, and soybeans, and they go ballistic. And you know, you ever remember these things happening when you were down on the farm?
Oh yeah, I mean, our huge moves, and soybeans, I think, had the biggest move this week of all the grains. So, well, they've been beaten down, I mean, for the last couple of years. And just commodities in general, starting to get a little life. Energy looks like maybe it has bottomed, maybe. You know, I was having lunch a couple of months ago with a guy who he doesn't manage wealth. He connects wealthy families who've made money in their own private businesses with investment opportunities. And he told me a couple months ago they're looking at energy. And this is when we were seeing, you know, oil at $27 a barrel. And I, of course, you know, I thought about that this week and wish I would have bought some at that time. But there were some people who saw the opportunities. And the IEA says they think that, you know, we've bottomed out and we could be seeing higher prices later this year, early next year. So, you know, maybe this beat down of the commodity complex has turned itself around.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think, you know, you have to look at value all the time. I mean, I think that's, as an investor, you know, you look for value opportunities, and then you can live with them longer if you buy well. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have ups and downs. I mean, you're in China and you've had ups and downs, but you believe that over time it's going to be fine. And, you know, but if you buy it right, then you have more time because it's not as painful when they go against you right away, and you have time to sit back and relax and let it play out. So China has, you know, has been out of the front page. How are you feeling about China these days?
Well, you're right. I mean, I haven't heard a lot about it. They did have their worst day in 7 weeks, so one day this week. So the volatility is still there. There's been, you know, the interesting thing about China is you can find any opinion about it at all. I mean, there's people who's like, it's headed for a crash equivalent to what we saw in 2008. There's people who are like, China is the future and all these scare tactics are overblown. And, you know, what do you do? I mean, I watch it and I keep some money in there and I keep some money in other things as well. That's about all you can do.
Now, you know, we talk about China, we talk about all these things, but, you know, we have in this country so many people that aren't working, or at least if they're working, not making any money. I mean, can't we bring back, couldn't we actually at this point in time compete with China from a manufacturing standpoint? Because, I mean, certainly you wouldn't have to pay the original salaries that these people were getting, but if you paid them a reasonable wage, don't you think we could rebuild some of the stuff in America and bring back some of this manufacturing here?
Well, you'd think so. And in fact, the economics in some cases tend to favor coming back to the United States when you factor in all the costs associated with doing in China. Plus, it's still kind of a headache to do business there. They're just, you know, the government can be a problem. And not that it can't be here, but it seems like less of a problem here. But you've got Vietnam, you've got the Philippines, Mexico. Ford is moving a plant to Mexico. So if it's not China, it would be some other place where it's cheaper. I just think what we really need to do is take a really hard look at a lot of things that we have, a lot of deeply entrenched things we have in this country, and figure out what's working, what's not, what can we get rid of? Let's kill some of these sacred cows. I mean, you know, our education system, our trade deals, you know, I mean, Donald Trump, I mean, for all his faults, has brought us a lot of great points about how people are elected. And I think a lot of people have been educated about that. So I think we need to just really kind of revamp some of these institutions and systems that we have in our country, or else, you know, we're going to be Rome take two.
Well, I mean, and I think that's one of the bigger problems. I mean, obviously, government continues to grow. And these guys just don't get it, and they don't care. They're really not interested in what we do. They care about putting the money in their own pocket. Would you agree with that?
All they care about is protecting themselves, because anybody with half a brain can see what's happening here. You know, and I've even thought, like, why is the Republican Party doing this? Maybe they've given up on the presidency, I thought, and they just care about retaining seats in Congress and the Senate. And maybe they've just figured, well, the demographics don't favor us to ever elect another president again for a long time. So let's focus on retaining House and governorships and things like that. You know, because I just can't believe they can't see what's happening right before their eyes.
Jane King, I love you. Thank you so much. You're always great. Great to have you on. Have a great day, kid. our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast every day, because we're trying to get more and more, and we're just over 200,000. And make sure you go to bubbatrading.com. If you're not getting hedged, you're making a mistake, and you're making a financial mistake. Check it out at bubbatrading.com. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for our friend Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, you've been on the markets, and you're making a lot of calls here, and we just can't seem to get that volume and that volatility back in the markets. What are you seeing here, man?
Well, I think it's coming soon. I mean, I basically every week with this almost say the same thing. But, you know, last time we're talking about volatility, we said, you know, we're watching the commercials and how many volatility contracts, you know, they were sucking up. And last week it was 80,000. Now they're at 86,000. So, I mean, their you know, historical maximum for the past 2-3 years has been 102,000. So we're right around 85% of what they're looking to get at the most.
So they're pouring it in, and they keep pressing it up. And of course, we, the average investor, don't have the funds or the money to do that. And besides the fact that they do have long positions, they're just not naked short or naked long volatility. They also have some longs on as well. But that is one of the things I think that's important for the average guy to understand, is that, you know, they can do more than we can do, and they can hold a hell of a lot longer, but they're certainly giving an indication that they think we're, if not at, very near the top. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, part of it too is their counterparties, which is, you know, the levered funds and retail, where, you know, those areas, they don't have unlimited money, and they're their counterparties. So, you know, they'll max out at a certain number of, you know, they're short volatility, so they'll max out on the short side, and then wherever that happens to be, you know, the commercials will take the other side. They'll be at their long position based upon, you know, the limited ability of their counterparty. But I think, you know, they're almost there, and yeah, I think we're looking at the sell-off, you know, coming very soon now. You know, last week we were just talking about price. I was looking for 21.42. On, you know, as the maximum upside for S&P, and, you know, we only got to 21.11 last week. You know, I don't know if we can get all the way to 21.42 anymore, because in terms of the Dow, I think Dow did peak last week, or came really, really close, within 0.2%, because I have about a max high on the Dow of 18 to 20. And we got to 18.167, so that I just I think the Dow's done. I think the S&P has more room, but I don't see how it runs, you know, another percent and a half while the Dow, you know, just stays still. So.
Well, and I get that. And, you know, one of the things I'm looking at and one of the things I see here is, you know, it did look like we were kind of petering out a little bit towards the end of the week last week. And, of course, you know, I think a lot of these guys are trying to guess the Fed. And, you know, they've certainly priced in, you know, the Fed is Wednesday this week. And they've certainly priced in my opinion, that the Fed is going to do nothing, which is typical of the Fed. And most likely, and I know that doesn't necessarily equate into your charts until after the news plays out and it sets the footprint. But if the Fed, I mean, the Fed can't be any more dovish, in my opinion. So, I mean, if they're banking on more of the free money, everything's been, I think, kind of priced in. So tying in with your upper end of this level here, and the Fed could only rock the boat here. I mean, again, so what are they going to say? We're going to keep buying. Everybody knows that. So it would make sense that this could be a spot that we could start to see some pressure. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know, this April meeting next week, this Wednesday, excuse me. You know, there's no press conference afterwards. So, you know, Janet Yellen, whenever she opens her mouth, it's extreme, you know, dovishness, like you're saying, and at least she won't have an opportunity to do that. So, yeah, I think everything's priced in. I don't, you know, I think it would be, you know, really unlikely that they would raise on a month, this month, and without having a press conference to follow. I don't think that's, I think it would probably be a non-event. That's my guess.
I would think so. I mean, but, you know, they are gutless, so this would be a good time because she wouldn't have to answer any questions, right? She could just, they could raise and go hide in the corners. They always do. So, you know, we've seen some action, and a lot of stuff doesn't make sense. And I know each chart is independent of its own, and each market is independent of its own, but there are certain correlations in markets, and typically, you know, when you look at a market, and we saw a big day last week, you know, we had the bonds up, the gold up, and the equities up. I mean, that is not a good relationship as a rule. And typically, one of them is right. And you know, typically, I mean, you know, in most recent history, it's been wrong. But typically, the fixed income market is correct because those are the biggest markets in the world. So are you seeing anything there? Does that play into your thinking at all?
Yeah, I agree. I think the bond market's usually the smartest market, at least compared to the equity market, and definitely compared to commodity markets. But they're not really playing off of each other that much. But at the end of last week, we had some weakness in treasuries, and they really went from overbought to oversold very quickly. And so now I'm looking for another leg higher in treasuries, which should correlate with, you know, a sell-off in stocks. Gold, I think, is just about done to the upside. I had a target in silver, short-term target, at 1750, which we slightly exceeded, but within the margin of error for my work. And now I think silver is going to be smashed, like, big time to the downside. I don't think the commercials have been building short positions on the run up, and I think they're you know, they're fully loaded short, and they're gonna smash the hell out of both gold and silver.
You mean you can't get it to the exact amount? I thought you had a scalpel over there. You're right on the exact dollar. No, so I mean, I don't know. I'm a fan of silver. I mean, I would think that certainly, though, you know, based on the recent move we've had, I mean, certainly you would expect some sort of profit taking or sell off. And tell us about your gold deal. I know you're still offering your gold special.
Yeah, for gold, we know exactly where the bottom of gold is. I mean, at least I believe it. Gold hasn't bottomed. We've got one leg lower, and we're going to make a lower low. That will be the bear market bottom, and we're not that far away. But the deal we have is we'll send. We have a subscription. It's for essentially for free. It's $1 just to participate, but we'll send out an email and a text message saying, hey, we just bottomed in gold. And there's no charge unless we're very, very right. So we have to be within 3% of the actual bottom with our target, and we have to then have a rally of 20%. So, and then we'll charge $49, which I think is kind of chump change for that kind of move.
Oh, if you get that kind of, now, when you play gold, do you play the gold future or do you play the GLD?
I'll play gold futures, but I'll do either one. The only thing I don't like about GLD is that you can't trade it 24 hours. And a lot of times some of the sketchier action will happen overnight, and you'll get gaps in GLD.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, I understand. I agree with that 100%. And certainly, if you're a bigger trader, you could trade through GLD or set up an option position where you could actually liquidate the future overnight if you wanted to, and then take it off, you know, during the day when everything is open. So, I mean, there are ways to do that. I mean, certainly we won't go into it now, but if anybody's interested and wants to get involved with Matt and is a little bit bigger trader, I mean, you can trade one against the other because they do correlate, and it's certainly something that, you know, I've done for years. Well, I don't do it anymore because there's no edge to it for me now, but in the indexes versus the future, there's obviously a direct correlation, and there's a direct number of contracts or shares that you have to trade to reach that bit value. But you know, so we see commodities, you know, starting to bottom a little bit. You know, we've talked about that. What do you see in the commodity space here?
Well, you know, like I said, the I can't sort of overemphasize how short the commercials are in gold and silver, and I'll move off of them in a second. But in terms of silver, the commercials have been short this much only twice in the last 23 years. So they're at their third largest short position ever. In gold, I don't know how far back it goes, but it's almost at least back to 2011, back to when gold was up at, you know, like $1,700 per ounce. So precious metal space, I think, is just about to get, you know, a big move to the downside. With the rest of the commodity sector, you know, it depends on which one. You know, we've been talking about grains. I think, you know, wheat still looks good from that perspective. The corn and soy doesn't look as great as far as from commercial.
Hold that thought, Matt. Because there's a few questions about this I want to talk to you about, because yeah, okay. I think we saw some interesting action, but here we are coming up to a break. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Check out his gold special. I mean, I think it's a pretty low risk trade for you guys if you want to check it out. I mean, you know, basically giving you a pick for free, and if it works, you pay, and if it doesn't work, you don't pay, but it would be a high probability trade. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and, you know, again, when you miss an episode, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and load it up, and we just, again, surpassed 200,000 downloads a month, and we're obviously looking to get to 3. So make sure that you get there and you help download the show, as well as checking out BubbaTrading.com, because we continue to, A, write, and B, we've got a great hedging program, because, again, we believe we are somewhere near a top here. Again, we don't predict overall tops and bottoms, but we do believe that protection is the best method. But we're going to step out of a break and come back with more of Matt after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. So, Matt, you know, we've been talking wheat and soybeans, and your trade a couple of weeks ago was to buy wheat and to sell beans and corn. And, of course, that kind of got a little torturous for a while. And then, of course, wheat kind of bottomed, like, I think last Monday or something like that. And it had a huge move during the week, as well as the others. But then on Friday, of course, you know, they all came a little bit tumbling down. Are you still in favor of that trade to buy wheat, sell corn and soybeans?
Well, if we were to have the trade, we took it off, by the way, on Wednesday. It was late Wednesday we took it off. And you know, we just basically broke even. We had a slight loss of for the whole trade. We lost about 0.5%. The reasoning for the way I'm looking at it is the charts say that, to me, they're saying that corn and soybeans have lower lows to make before the bear market's over. But with wheat, there's the potential that wheat has already bottomed. That's just the way what my charts are saying. So I, you know, the way we put it on was, well, we'll go long wheat and we'll short corn and soybeans against it. I think as a whole group, I don't think the grains have quite bottomed yet. It's kind of similar to my thoughts on gold and silver, that they still have one more leg down. But I think wheat looks the most bullish of the three.
And I had thought, I mean, just between you and me and the fence post and just the 200,000 people that download the show, I thought wheat did bottom. And I actually thought corn had bottomed as well. I think the rally was a little bit high, but I was looking for new contract lows. We got them in wheat and we got them in corn. We did not get them in soybeans yet. And of course, soybeans are now dramatically away from that move. I mean, you know, we'd have to go down over a dollar to get there. But again, I do believe that soybean rally was more short covering. And I think you saw some of the action on Friday, the way they all kind of tumbled down. And wheat was a pretty natural sale from up there, just from a short-term basis, because I had it basically pegged in the near term, which would be, you know, would have been 455 to 485. And we, of course, we got past that and, of course, came crashing back into that range. But overall, I mean, I think that we did see some short covering, and they do have to come lower. And so I'm in agreement there. And what's your thought? Is crude oil getting a little bit overextended here? What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think crude is almost at its... We have a 45. It keeps changing because, you know, the contract rolls every, you know, month. But we have a price of 45 to 46, and we're right just below that, you know, 44 and change. So I don't think crude has that much more upside before rolling back over again. And I think we're going to get, you know, back down towards the lows. So we're short, and we're using, you know, the USO ETF to be short because it just decays. And, you know, if you're going to take the short side, that's a good way to go, I think.
No, I mean, USO is a great way to go because it is, USO is, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, the contango and backwardation formation plus the premium, USO doesn't know how to account for that, or they choose not to. So basically it's like a big option, and it kind of decays on its own. So even if you're not 100% right, you still can't usually make a little bit of dough when it's going down. The only problem I have with USO is it's, you know, I'm not a big fan of $9 and $10 stocks as shorts. I just don't see how much I can make there. But I do agree, and that is one of the problems when you're dealing in the commodity space, you're using ETFs to trade it. So it's always good to be short the ETF space, you know, the one, especially the leverage ones, because they kind of decay like big options, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and I mean, you know, so it's a great way to be short. And then just going back to the commodity, you know, you probably have a good take on this, but, you know, fundamentally speaking, I think there are producers, you know, North American producers that can, you know, eke out some gains, some profits with oil up near these prices. So I think supply comes back near these levels. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. Again, you know, I always have a problem with when they say how much they need to get, because, you know, typically, you know, one thing we know from a general consumer standpoint is they're always in a hurry to raise prices, but somehow they never come down as fast. We know they're making money. I mean, you know, they can hang that crap out with anybody they want, you know, if you want to believe it. But I don't believe it because, you know, again, you'll look at their balance sheets at the end of the quarter and you'll say, oh, we made a profit. You know, I've heard about all these loans going bad, but yet the banks aren't peddling. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, it's always a tricky market. And it always goes back to even, which you don't usually account for, but the supply-demand model. You know, we've got too much supply. We got too much supply. And then all of a sudden, one day, oh, we don't have any supply anymore. What happened? So, you know, to me, it's a farce. And that goes back to, you know, the whole Fed deal, because, you know, it's owned by J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, among others. And they're always trying to spoof and manipulate the markets in their own special way. And, you know, hey, so what are you seeing in Europe here? Is the rallies going to last? Are you still thinking we're going much lower there? What's your look out there?
Europe, I think, is done. Europe, we you know, it's pivoting along. There's a pivot line that it's just bumping along. We hit it back in March 10th. We hit the same line last week, Thursday, I believe, and we hit it exact. We were calling for another peak there along the line at 3160. We got to 3157 in the Euro Stoxx 50. So now I think the Euro Stoxx 50 is going to just roll back over again, and there's a possibility that we sort of move a little bit down and back up and sort of chop around this level, but the next big move there is to the downside, and by a large degree. I think if the U.S. sells off, let's say 10%, the Euro Stoxx 50 is going to almost double that, I think. So it's a good place. Like if you want to keep long exposure to the U.S. market, a great way to hedge it would be to go short the European market.
That makes sense. Yeah. That almost like a Paris trade, selling one to be long the other, basically. I mean, and those are things that you do and you look for. And again, Matt's just basically playing the levels, the footprint. I mean, he didn't care what they are. I mean, you can give him any symbol and let him look at the chart and he'll give you, a basis. Now, China's been, kind of churning around here and, kind of just hanging, and it's been, obviously whipping back and forth in consolidation. And as we know, out of consolidation will come a breakout one way or the other. And I'm assuming you think that'll break down as well.
Yeah, I think it'll break to the downside. I mean, we've had a little bit of a break to the downside. Well, it's too small, actually, but over last week, the thing's been sort of trading, just sort of drifting higher, sideways to higher for, almost 3 months now. And the indicators I'm looking at, if you look at weekly RSI, if you look at, weekly stochastics, which are pretty long, that's a pretty long-term thing to look at, they were, sort of pinned to the bottom, back in the end of January. And now they've really risen off those bottoms and they are set up to allow another big leg to the downside, which is what my patterns say is going to take place. We'll get another, big move down. So we just started shorting China again about the middle of last week.
Is this the year that the, obviously everybody makes the statements, the buy in main and go away, or sell in main and go away. Is this the year that pays off, you think? I mean, obviously it's a mathematical model and it doesn't always work, but is this the year you think it works?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's the game plan for, us, and also, that's, I think, what the commercials are thinking with the, U.S. markets. I think we're all, May is going to be rough for everything. I look everything, across the board. Last week I was looking across everything, and stochastics are pretty, finicky, so to speak, but they were all across the board over 90. Basically anything I looked at, any risk asset, was over 90, which is well overbought. One thing that in addition to that, I'm looking at is the junk bonds, corporate bonds, HYG. I think topped out last week as well. So there's another, maybe has slight more to the upside, but I mean slight. I think that HYG is going to tank out as well. That fits with what you were saying about oil and, how the balance sheets are terrible, and, that oil feeds into HYG too.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, and that when Matt says it's going to top out, I mean, it doesn't mean it can't go a little bit higher, but, somewhere in here is the neighbor to look at it. But this has been our friend Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his website and make sure you check out his gold special. Matt, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
We are going to step out here for the day. It's been a great day, and it's always great to have Matt on. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you check out to download the show, libertytalk.fm, every day. Again, we've got over 200,000 people downloading a month. We want you to be among them. This has been the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here at the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. See you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks.
So, world, I just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.